Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. How are you? Hope your Monday's been okay. This is Update, where over the next half hour, we'll take you through some of the day's main news. Tonight, that includes the fact that school dinners are still in the spotlight. One mum will tell us why she's worried about the impact the menu changes are having on her child's diabetes. Also tonight, the Chief Minister says the government's stance on wind farms could face a challenge before the next general election, which incidentally is just over a year away. There's also an urgent appeal for volunteers to help keep Appeal Charity Shop running. We'll bring you the tale of a feral pony at Sky Hill and some welcome news. If you're a fan of direct flights from the island, all that plus the weather, the traffic and the travel, and if you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
Manx Care has spent £1.3 million more than planned on UK hospital treatment so far this year. The healthcare provider says higher than planned off-island tertiary activity and challenges managing a reduced budget are amongst the contributing factors. 13 Manx landmarks have been granted protected status following a public consultation. They include the legislative buildings in Douglas and the Royal Chapel in St John's, and it means they are now legally protected from demolition or significant alteration without registered building consent. The Chief Minister says he expects government's position on renewable energy to be challenged in the run-up to next year's election. Alfred Cannon admits progress has been slower than expected.
Getting the certainty in these sorts of, and trying to maximise, for example, our own territorial waters to deliver the type of energy that and scale of energy that really is needed for this type of investment, it's probably been harder than people envisaged when 10, 12 years ago people decided, you know, the government at the time decided that this area of territorial sea should be up for lease.
There'll be a yellow weather warning in place tomorrow for inner harbour flooding that will come into force at 1 minute past midnight and will remain in place until 3 a.m. on Wednesday. And island residents over 40 are being encouraged to know their numbers when it comes to their blood pressure. Public Health Isle of Man has launched a new campaign. Further afield, the new UK Home Secretary is looking to go further than her predecessor, Yvette Cooper, in tackling small boat channel crossings. Israel's Prime Minister is promising to go after those who helped gunmen shoot down six people in Jerusalem. The French government is on the brink of collapse as its Prime Minister faces a vote of no confidence. And James Corden and Ruth Jones have their eyes on a new series. Entertainment site Deadline is reporting an 8-part drama comedy will air on Apple TV Plus and will be called The Choir. They're your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. There is a yellow weather warning, which I'll tell you about in just a moment. But first, tonight, dry with sunny intervals. There will be the risk actually of a few sharp showers this evening. Mostly dry then overnight with clear spells. Moderate to fresh south or southwest winds with overnight temperatures around 12. Tomorrow it'll be dry and bright. It'll then turn cloudy with the risk of an odd shower. Moderate to fresh south or southwest winds. Top temperatures tomorrow is 17. Not great on Wednesday. Rain arriving in the morning. That'll be persistent and often heavy before clearing in the evening. Fresh to strong south or southeast winds. They'll veer west or southwest later and highest temperatures around 16. So that yellow weather warning in place tomorrow is for inner harbour flooding. It comes into force at 1 minute past midnight. It'll stay in place until 3 a.m. on Wednesday. And as usual, the areas most at risk are the inner harbours of Castletown, Douglas and Ramsey. Forecasters at Ronalds Way Met Office say it's due to large high tides over the next few days, so this advice is likely to be extended as well. And they add that warnings for coastal overtopping are likely to be needed this week, but they will be issued separately, so we keep you up to date with that. Sunset this evening, 7:53. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 6:40.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock. Often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill. The exclusive Karcher store is open, with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Karcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 5 past 5. So a parent of a child with diabetes says she's worried about the safety of her child after the introduction of new menus at primary schools across the island. Now, I think we should say this move itself has generally been quite well supported, but some have raised concerns about portion sizes, availability of options and the quality of the food that's been issued. But Shauna, whose daughter has type 1 diabetes, says she's had to fight to get information.
So if my child isn't given the right amount of insulin, what will happen in the afternoon? She will either have a hypo, which is a low blood sugar, or she will have high blood sugar, both of which affects concentration, how she can cope in the classroom.
Ultimately, that can end in a child going unconscious if their blood sugar goes so low that and nobody notices.
It is just so important that the information is A, provided on time, and B, that it's correct. We did have one version uploaded by the paediatric diabetes nurse, but it wasn't complete. It didn't have some of the portion sizes for the Cook Centre schools. So we have now had that version uploaded last night. So we had the information ready for today, but not the first 2 days of school. So we kind of battled through on the first day. Second day, she had to have the jacket potato because I didn't have the portion sizes for the chilli. And I know it probably sounds like first world problems, but when you're trying to tell, actually, you don't have a choice. She doesn't want to do packed lunch because none of her friends do packed lunch. So she would just be sat with nobody she knows. But, you know, this just shouldn't be something she even has to think about. Or as a parent, there's enough going on as well. They just can't possibly understand how important it is because they would have provided the information in good time. But yeah, it really does baffle me. I really hope it is that they don't know as opposed to don't care. Because as the parents of type 1 diabetic children, we actually don't know whether it is that they don't know or they're just not bothered. Everyone should feel that they can send their child to school and make it safe. Yeah.
We have put all these points to the department and invited the Education Minister to do an interview responding to the concerns. That invitation was declined, but we have been given a short statement in response instead. It says the department is pleased to see the introduction of a refreshed primary school menu. We are listening carefully to concerns and remained committed to providing healthy, nutritious meals that cater to a range of needs. The menu will continue to evolve to ensure all pupils are properly nourished and enjoy their school meals.
That's Amy Griffiths there, who is talking to that mother with some concerns. Coming up to 5 past 8, and as we heard in the headlines, the Chief Minister believes government's position on renewable energy is likely to be challenged in the run-up to next year's general election. But Alfred Cannon insists it's still right to be pushing forward the agenda to give the island energy security. The Council of Ministers recently accepted for examination an application for an offshore wind farm, while proposals for an onshore development are still in the pipeline.
There is certainly, and I suspect there will be certainly, an element of frustration if people are asking for views from politicians, particularly from ministers. Do they think it's right? Do they think it's wrong? And they're not getting an answer.
Not just current ministers either, because there will be people standing who have very strong and clear views, perhaps don't understand that if they express those views, they end up not being able to take part in the decision.
So it's entirely possible that a decision could be made by a new council of ministers, whoever that set of ministers were. It could, for example, actually be delegated out to the Legislative Council, or primarily members of the Legislative Council, because, you know, during an election campaign, 24 of the MHKs had somehow conflicted themselves.
Yeah.
And in order to avoid the legal challenge that would come with that, that delegation took place. I'm not clear as to how that challenge would take place. Mm. Were at the end of September 2026 there to be 24 MHKs with clearly stated objections to offshore wind. I think that's...
Or even in favour.
But obviously, clearly, there's going to be more difficulty on the latter front. But even if planning is granted, the certainty and clarity about that's being delivered and where it's going to plug into and how it's going to supply energy still remains an unanswered question. So this is quite frustrating, I think, in many ways. I suppose one of the disadvantages about being a small island is that getting the certainty in these sorts of, and trying to maximise, for example, our own territorial waters to deliver the type of energy and scale of energy that really is needed for this type of investment, is probably been harder than people envisage.
That's the Chief Minister Alfred Cannon, who was talking to Phil Gorn on Perspective. You can listen back to that programme in full as a podcast at manxradio.com. Now, here's something else we just heard in the headlines. 13 Manx landmarks have been granted protected status. It follows a consultation, as Amy Griffiths reports again.
The collection, ranging from medieval bridges and Victorian railway buildings, has now been added to the Protected Buildings Register. And it may come as a surprise that not all of these were already protected. For example, the home of Manx lawmaking for the past 125 years, the legislative buildings in Douglas, or more affectionately, the Wedding Cake, and the Royal Chapel and National Assembly site in St John's are two of the island's most important political locations. They've now both been added to the list, along with a number of buildings celebrating our rich railway heritage. The Laxey, Groudle and Balloor viaducts, the former railway stations in Peel and Kirkmichael, and the Douglas Railway Station workshops and signal box have all also been added. Also featuring are Moores Bridge in Laxey, Monk's Bridge in Ballasalla, Stone Bridge in Ramsey, and the Kensington Arts Centre in Douglas, which is the former School of Art. The designation means they are now all legally protected from demolition or significant alteration without registered building consent. Minister for Environment, Food and Agriculture Claire Barber says that these registrations celebrate the diversity of the island's heritage, and by registering them, we're safeguarding these landmarks for generations to come.
Amy Griffiths reporting. You can find all those details on our website. Coming up to 12 minutes past five. Now, Manx Care has spent £1.3 million more than planned on UK hospital treatments so far this year. The healthcare provider says higher than planned off-island tertiary activity and challenges managing a reduced budget are among the contributing factors. Sian Cowper has more.
Figures published by Manx Care reveal just over £6.6 million has been spent on healthcare for patients from the island needing treatment in hospitals across, against a planned spend of £5.3 million. The island's health service states non-elective, emergency care, high-cost drugs and cancer care are among the issues affecting spend. The board says organisational changes and a limited budget for off-island care have also delayed activity planning, while discussions with NHS trusts regarding contractual arrangements for the current financial year are ongoing. Manx Care says some NHS trusts have expressed concern about adapting to the new referral and approvals process, which places a greater responsibility on Manx Care to manage and reduce off-island referrals. It adds that submissions from trusts have been inconsistent and clinical teams are still refining their approach to managing activity within budget.
Sian Cowper reporting.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, the main thing this evening is that the Mountain Road actually reopened at 4:30. It was going to stay shut overnight for the removal of all the TT and MGP signage, but they managed to get what they needed to do done. It did open at 4:30. It is going to shut again from 9:30 tomorrow and will open again at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. Other things, Braddon until February next year. There are temporary lights on Braddon Road. That's just up from Braddon Bridge. In Douglas, still temporary lights on Saddle Road. In Peel, there's a short stretch of Glenfaber Road which is closed, and it's still closed for another few days. That's near the new sewage treatment plant. And also in Peel, the Fenella Footbridge, that's across the harbour, it's now closed for maintenance work. That's going to be around 4 weeks, and all businesses around the Key and Breakwater will be remaining open as normal. Nothing to report on the police pages, all looking okay down at the airport and at the steam packet. The Manxman due in at around about 6:15. It was actually a little bit late leaving this evening or this afternoon from Heysham because they held it because of the roadworks on the M6. But it is due in at around about 6:15, and the Mananan on its way to Liverpool getting there at about 6 as well.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
You're listening to Update, where it's coming up to 5:15. And there's an open evening tomorrow to hopefully encourage more volunteers to support the Peel Charity Shop. And to find out more about this, I'm joined on the line now by the shop's chair, Pat Castain, MBE. Good evening, Pat. Lovely to talk to you. Just tell us why you're having this open evening. Why do you need to do it?
Hello, Beth. Yes, well, we decided that, the charity shops are a little gem in Peel, really, and we're getting busier every week. And we just thought, well, we just need a few more volunteers just to come along and say, yes, we can give a few hours in a week to help us out, really.
And a lot of money is distributed around the town, isn't it, from the charity shop?
Yeah, well, from around the island, really. We give them, we have two donation mornings a year, and we give over £50,000 each time to different charities on the island.
So give us an idea then, what sort of volunteer you'd be looking for? What sort of jobs are there to be done?
Well, we've got, they can be serve in the shop and learn how to use the till and the cash machine and, take in donated goods from customers. And then there's also sorting days. We have a sorting morning on a Monday and a couple of early evenings we have sorting, because obviously you can't do a lot of sorting when customers are in, but you've got to change the stock. You can't keep the same stock on the rails all the time.
And is there an ideal sort of person that you're looking for then?
No, a fit person. Yes, I think if they're fit and they like meeting people, they're a person people, I think that fits the bill, really.
And do you roughly know how many volunteers you've got at the moment?
We've got about 30 volunteers at the moment, but obviously we've got holidays and people off sick and maybe have hospital appointments, you know, that can't do shifts. So it's we could do with maybe a couple of people who are fairly flexible and could fit in at sort of 2 or 3 days' notice, you know, just for a few hours.
So you've got this open evening tomorrow. When and where is it happening?
It's at the Peel Charity Shop. It's from 6 to 7.30 and I shall be there and a few other volunteers. So, because as you know, Peel Charity Shop works on all volunteers, no paid people at all.
And I think the final thing, Pat, is that we know that time is so incredibly precious for so many people. So is there an idea of how much time you'd be expecting somebody to give up for you?
Well, 3 hours, just 3 hours a week would be wonderful.
Wonderful. Pat Castaigne, MBE, thank you so much for joining us. So that open evening taking place tomorrow at the Peel Charity Shop, which is just on the promenade there from 6 p.m. until 7.30. So if you've got any questions at all, go along and meet the team. 17 and a half minutes past five. Well, FC Isle of Man struggles continued at the weekend as they lost 5-0 away to Burscough. It's the fourth loss in a row for the Ravens and the seventh this season as the club sits bottom of the North West Counties Football League. The manager, Paul Jones, has been talking to Darren Timpson.
We had to change four of the back five on Saturday. And you know, you don't get consistency and it's very difficult to build on what was a really positive performance against Paddy, and when you're having to make so many changes. And I thought, you know, we were well in the game for 60 minutes and had some good opportunities. And, you know, off the back of a mistake, everybody's kind of heads dropped and the result was the result, which is something I'm not particularly happy with. And it's something that is really disappointing and frustrating and that is keeping me awake at night. But there's also some reasons, I would say, and excuses other people might say that are preventing us from really being consistent so far this season in terms of selection. And as I say, that's beyond my control. So, you know, I think any manager would find it very, very difficult in the current circumstances. And I'm hoping that I can pick the players that I'd like to pick on a regular basis rather than the players that are available. But, you know, Tuesday night will be another indication of where we are around our availability for, as I say, reasons beyond my control and in many instances, reasons beyond some of the players' control. So we've just got to get the best out of the group as we possibly can. And, you know, a little bit of confidence, a little bit of belief and a little bit of positive support wouldn't go too much amiss, really, to help everybody kind of like find the levels that they're capable of and start getting some points on the board.
That is manager of the Ravens, Paul Jones. Well, FC Isle of Man next face Cheadle Town away tomorrow at 7:45. And if you've been paying attention to social media today, you may have seen this statement from the FC Isle of Man board. It says, after lengthy discussions with Paul in the summer, the board agreed to carry out a review of the season after 13 league games. We remain, this statement says, committed to this decision and process and fully intend to keep to this plan and to carry out a review after the Pilkington away game on Saturday the 20th of September. Well, I can tell you we'll be bringing you more on that season review and what that actually means and the statement from the board on tomorrow morning's breakfast programme. It's coming up to 20 past five, and the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture says it'll be monitoring closely the last surviving feral pony at Sky Hill. Now, a herd of them is thought to have lived in the area of Glen Alden for decades after being released into the wild. And in recent weeks, a government veterinary officer has visited the site alongside the Manx Wildlife Trust to look at the animal being referred to as Sky. Jessica Taylor-Welsh spotted the all-white pony while on a trek in the area.
I look to my left and I see this. Honestly, it was like a mystical figure. And, you know, I've had horses and things in my life, and it's an all white, or as a lot of people would say, grey in the horse community. And it was just standing there looking at us as we're trekking along, walking towards it. We were probably about 20 metres, 30 metres away from it. None of us were ever in any way of going to go see it or try and touch it or anything like that. I walked to go walk past it. And as I was looking at it, I noticed that it had its left leg up. And that's not a great sign. I have fallen in love with her completely. And that's why I wanted to name her Sky the Wild, because she's the last one we're ever going to have. They say because she presents like that, she's obviously not in huge amounts of pain, because if they were, they wouldn't be very healthy. What they've decided to do, which I think is the best part of the update, is not only have they gone out and actually made the effort to go and find her, but they are now going to take her under their wing and monitor her. And that is something that just really makes me want to smile, because she's not alone now. She's got rangers, and in partnership with the Manx Wildlife Trust, she's got rangers and the vets who will keep an eye. And I'm not saying it's every day, it's going to be every month. It'll probably be maybe once every six, maybe once a year. But it means that if she is in trouble, somebody will be there to see it, which means that she gets the best welfare care of a wild animal.
That is Jessica Taylor-Welsh, who has named that feral pony at Sky Hill Sky. And the advice is to stay away from Sky. She is a little bit timid. You can see a photograph, though, on the Manx Radio Facebook page and our website as well. It's 22 minutes past five. So did you go on a direct flight from the island for your holiday this year? Well, we've got some good news for you. The direct flight offerings for summer 2026 went on sale today. Siobhan has been taking a look at the schedule, trying to book something herself, I imagine. Joins me now. First of all, just tell us about the locations that are on offer, Siobhan.
Well, Beth, CI Travel Group has today confirmed next year's direct flights will operate weekly on Saturdays from May to October. They'll link Ronald's Way to the Spanish islands of Mallorca and Ibiza, Malaga on the Spanish Costa del Sol, and Faro on Portugal's Algarve coast. That's in addition to a couple of periods in the winter, which will see flights link the island and Tenerife. They'll also again be operated by FlyDirect's partner airline BA Cityflyer, which is a subsidiary of British Airways.
So roughly how long do these direct flights take?
Well, flights to Mallorca and Ibiza take around 2 hours 45 minutes, while to Malaga and Faro, the flying time is around 3 hours.
And so are there any changes in terms of any of the offers that are available next year?
Yes, so this coming year, the company has added child discounts of between £50 and £200 per child to all flights and routes. And they say they've added a wider choice of hotel accommodation as well. Larger groups travelling together can also take advantage of a 10 seats for the price of 9 offer. CI Travel Group's Managing Director Robert McKenzie said the continued support we receive from islanders for these direct flights has been fantastic, and we're pleased to have been able to make them more affordable for 2026, particularly for families.
Siobhan, thank you very much indeed. As we approach sort of autumn and winter, it is time to think about getting a little bit of sun, isn't it? 24 minutes past five. If you're over the age of 40... I winced at that. You've got the chance to receive a free blood pressure check this week because it's part of a public health campaign, and a number of pharmacies across the island are offering the service just to really encourage more people to make checking their numbers a habit, because we are supposed to have it checked every year. Lewis has been talking to the Deputy Director of Public Health, Dr. Ross Keats.
High blood pressure is the second greatest cause of increased morbidity and mortality, which is preventable after smoking. So we're aware that high blood pressure is having more of a negative impact on populations worldwide. And the purpose of the Know Your Numbers campaign is to try and make people aware of their blood pressure readings, because we don't want people to experience these negative health outcomes that are associated with high blood pressure. And that can be anything from a heart attack to a stroke. We want people to be aware and to take ownership of their blood pressure. And this campaign is putting blood pressure machines out in the community so people can know their numbers slightly more easily.
Do you have to have any particular symptoms to qualify for one of these tests?
Absolutely not. The machines will be at participating pharmacies and locations, which are available on the public health website. And you don't need to have any symptoms, because typically high blood pressure will not present with any symptoms. So people might be walking around with elevated blood pressure without knowing about it.
Someone introduced me to this phrase before, white coat syndrome. How do you combat things like that?
So when you take your blood pressure, you might feel a little bit nervous initially. So your first reading might be a little bit elevated. What I would always say in that situation is sit there, relax the best you can, and take a second and a third reading, because then you're more likely to get a more accurate reading truly of what your resting blood pressure is. But certainly if you go into the pharmacy or the GP, it's very well understood that people will have a slightly higher blood pressure in that situation. And in fact, doctors, they will modify the level at which they sort of understand somebody to be hypertensive in that clinical scenario, because they're expecting their numbers to be slightly higher. So actually doing it on your own in the corner in a pharmacy means that you're more likely to get a more accurate reading of what your blood pressure actually is.
That's Deputy Director of Public Health, Dr. Ross Keaton. As he said, there are participating pharmacies all over the island. You can find the full list via our news article on this campaign at manxradio.com. It's coming to 26 minutes past five. Sport time now with Darren. Good evening.
Good evening. Starting in football, and Corinthians' great start to the season continued with a 10-1 thrashing against Foxdale. Luke Murray and Sean Doyle were amongst the goal scorers as the Whites stayed top of the Canada Life Premier League on goal difference. Elsewhere, Laxey and Rushen also made it 3 wins out of 3. They beat Ramsey and Peel respectively. Aaron Onken also took wins on Saturday. In the Eldon and Drogon Division 2, there was another 10-1 drumming on as Castletown beat Douglas Royal. The Southern team have moved top of the league by 2 points over Colby. Moran, Malou and Colby also won at the weekend. In the combination leagues, Corinthians are also top of the Canada Life Combination 1 with 9 points. There were 4 draws on Saturday, as Old Boys were the only other team to take 3 points with a win over Ayr. And in the combination 2, Castletown, Paul Rose and Rycob moved to 9 points. The rugby season returned on Saturday as well. However, Douglas were the only side to make it a winning start in the Regional 2 Northwest. They left it very late, but they managed to secure a 26-22 victory over North Ribblesdale. Meanwhile, Vagabonds were nilled in the County 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire. They lost 24-0 to Burnley. And Ramsey's return to the English leagues didn't go to plan. They were beaten 33-20 by Congleton. And Isle of Man tennis player Billy Harris has won his first ATP Challenger title. The 30-year-old came from a set down to beat Estonia's Daniel Glinka in the final at the Cassis Open in France. The result moves him up 15 places in the world rankings to 136th. Harris was playing in the event a week after making his debut at the US Open, and now he heads to China to compete in the Guangzhou Challenger event.
I'm impressed with your pronunciation there. I was looking at that word going, oh, I'm not sure. So, we wish Billy Harris all the very best. Lots of news on him and our website as well. Darren, thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update this evening. Thank you very much for your company. As ever, go to our website for all the details on tonight's top stories. Coming up next, it's Wild Man with our own Wild Man, Howard Kane. Then it's Greatest Hits, and Simon Clark is sitting in for Chris Kinley today from 6 p.m. At 9, it's Time for Brass with Ian Cottier, and then Dave Moore will be with you for After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a great one, and we'll talk to you again at the same time tomorrow.